welcome to episode 9 of Jane and Jen Knit Funny.
Hi, Jane.
Hi, Jen. How are you today?
I'm fabulous.
Me too.
Because it's a perfect day.
Maybe it's summer.
It just might be. Well, the Rose Festival is over.
Yeah, the Rose Festival ended weeks ago, though.
Yeah.
And it's been gross and anger-inducing. I was out at my game Tuesday night wearing wool socks and galoshes.
Oh, that's tragic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was out riding my bike on Tuesday, and it was a day full of horizontal mist, which is one of the most annoying types of precipitation imaginable, especially for someone who wears glasses, because if you're not wearing glasses, it's like, yeah, whatever, I'm just getting wet. But for me, it's just this, icky. I need windshield wipers for
them. Yeah, totally.
But today, so much better. Would you say it's like 85?
It's perfect. Perfect. And it's a 3-day weekend for me.
Oh, how exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Is that just because are you taking a day off or is it like a holiday?
I'm supposed to go to the beach, but I'm not gonna.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Everybody turned into flakos, yeah.
I'm going to turn into a flaco.
It's okay.
Oh, sorry.
You can do fun things with your husband.
Uh-huh.
You guys could pretend you're at the beach. You could go buy some saltwater taffy.
We're going to go play mini golf.
Ooh, even better. Mm-hmm. Are you going to go to Oaks Park by chance?
Did I
tell you they have a mini golf?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, they do. Oaks Park, for anyone who doesn't live in Portland, is, I believe it's the oldest continuously operating amusement park in America.
And the word amusement is in quotation marks there. It's pretty funny, though.
If you're under the age of 12, it's kick-ass. But if you're older, then... Mm.
I don't know, man. That minecart ride is awesome.
That one is pretty sweet. Isn't that the one that it has like some blacklight skeletons with headlamps? And
it starts out and it's about the Lewis and Clark expedition, and you go through and there's like gophers and they're like getting their wagon ready to go and everything, and then it ends with an astronaut. And in between there, there's this Indian that his wig fell over him. And he was doing the jumping up and down dance, and I swear to God, it looked like he was masturbating.
Oh, no.
We go on that ride at least 5 times when we go there. But yeah, maybe we'll go to Oaks Park.
Yeah, the mini golf course there, it's pretty new. Maybe it's been there a year, and it's right on the river.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can imagine that you're not in Portland. It's pretty cool.
Oh,
yeah. Not that being in Portland is bad. But.
Right? It's the best city ever.
Yeah.
So, Jen, what have you been up to? What have you finished?
I finished a sock.
Yay.
I finished one of my June socks, and I've done everything but weave in a couple of ends. But
that feels industrial strength.
Yeah, this is kind of one of my works in progress, too. I am going to be making a strange pair of socks for July. They're called, I'll just talk about them now, but the pattern is called Stripe Tees. It's a Ravelry, it's a free pattern. And it's an odd sock in that you knit it in 6 vertical strips.
Oh, yeah. You told me about that one.
Yeah, and it's best suited to a yarn that is self-striping, something in the vein of, I think it's Woolamiza. Well, Schopenwolle, I don't know, it's one of those. It's one of those Germany-sounding ones. Yeah, one of those that I don't have, or actually I don't think I've ever seen in real life.
Me neither.
But ones that have long color changes. So the idea is that you're knitting the strip, and so it breaks up the color in a different type of way. So you get, you know, long swaths of one color. And then, but the way the pattern is written, it really wants you to know stitch count and whatnot for a sock that fits you well. And I haven't really been knitting socks that long to know exactly what the right number of stitches is for blah, blah, blah. So anyway, this was an experiment in what if I knit on zeros? What's the right number of stitches? And so I used size zeros.
Crazy lady.
I know. And although I made those man socks on 2.25 millimeter ones. Yeah, those are like, that's like somewhere between 0 and 1, or maybe it's actually 1. I don't know. But I cast on 68 stitches for this sock, and it's a little bit snug. It should probably be more like 72. And yeah, just like you said, it's pretty pretty bulletproof. But it's done in a self-striping yarn that I bought on clearance at the Yarn Garden. Actually, when I bought the yarn for my graduation socks, I was in their little clearance area, and I was like, ooh, I'm going to knit one pair of socks. I better buy another skein for when I want to knit more. And it just sat. It's blue and purple and brown.
It's nice. It's nice.
Yeah, it's all right. They're just going to be warm.
Yeah, they're going to go in your shoe.
Yeah, and they're serving exactly the purpose that I had intended them to serve, which was, what gauge will I end up with when using these needles and this number of stitches? So now I think I know where to go with the striped tees one. Because I'm a little scared about that sock because, again, it is knit in those strips and I have to do some math and the pattern. It looks like it's comprehensive and clear, but it's long. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of, I get the impression it's just like, do these things and trust me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not very good with trust, so... So we'll see. But I think it'll work out well. But that's pretty much everything I've been working on. I'm tired of seaming those felted slippers.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
I don't like seaming. It's mm-mm. no fun. And I don't know. I'm not really sure that I'm doing it quite right. There's slightly ambiguous instructions. Like, I think it instructed me to make the back, the heel part, that seemed to make it bunchy. I'm probably remembering the word incorrectly, but I was like, it's not a very technical term. I don't really know what that means. And there was a picture, but I don't really know. And once you seam it and once you felt it, it's kind of done, but whatever.
So they aren't, because with the felted clogs, you knit in the circle and then you, like, you don't seam the felted clogs together. You just kind of...
The felted clogs, you
together.
Yeah, you don't you seam down the sole?
Yeah, you
on
do
the
that.
Bottom, but that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and these are different in that you knit the sole as one solid piece, and then you knit essentially. Okay, so like,
so do you pick up a knit, or is it two separate pieces? And once everything is finished, you sew it together, kind of like a sweater.
Yeah, you do sew it all together, and it's not two pieces; it's three pieces because the top.
Oh, it has that little flap.
Well, no. Actually, no. It's four pieces if you include the flap. Just to make it more complicated. No, so there's a sole. So, like, look down at your foot. So, there's a sole. And
pretty.
Then, like, the left side of your foot,
mm-hmm.
that's another piece. And then the right side of your foot is another piece. And then the flap is an additional piece mm-hmm. that goes on top.
Huh.
So, yeah. It's so silly of me to complain about it because it's really, like, 2 feet of seaming, but I don't know, it just seems obnoxious.
You're not a cobbler.
No, I'm not.
Leave it out overnight and see if the elves show up.
I should. Maybe I'll leave them some cookies.
Uh-huh.
But that's what I've been up to. What have you been up to?
I have awesome news.
Yes?
Uh-huh. I experienced a miracle.
Oh!
So to pick up where we left off last time, I was angry and dejected. And asking for help. And like right before we posted that last episode, I was flipping through my copy of The 4-Hour Body by good old Tim Ferriss, my best friend right now. I love him. And I found this section on reversing permanent injuries.
Whoa.
The book is magical.
Oh my God.
It's especially because for me, it's an ebook. So it's not like I can, like, the book can flip open and I was like thumbing through the table of contents looking for something. And I found that. And I started reading it. And he has this entire chapter on how he reversed all these injuries that he had sustained. And one of the things that he talked about was this thing called active release treatment, or ART. I keep calling it art therapy. And then somebody in our group, Middle-Aged Pearl, you are awesome, recommended it to me.
Oh.
So I hopped on the internet and I found a doctor and I called him up. And I left him a message, and 24 hours later, he hadn't returned my call.
Oh,
and I picked him because I don't know anybody from Adam right now, but one of his Google reviews said he was good looking. And, you know, if someone's going to be hurting me or poking me around, I want some eye candy. So Dr. Eye Candy became Dr. Doesn't Return His Phone Calls in a Timely and Efficient Manner. So then I called the next guy on the list. And they said, we can get you in on Monday. And I said, I can't come on Monday. How about Tuesday? And they said, come on in. They emailed me all the forms that they wanted me to fill out before I got there, like, really tech savvy at this place.
Wow.
And so, yeah, I went in. I chose a it's a chiropractor, and I chose him because he had the word doctor in front of his name, not licensed massage therapist afterwards. I wanted somebody who had a, I want somebody with a mountain of student debt to fix me. And we went in and we sat down. He's kind of good looking too. And he started asking me what was going on. And Monday, it was the worst day yet. It was like on a scale of 1 to 10, I went to 11. And I snapped at Jason and I was just miserable. And I just, I think I got this at exactly the right moment because I just started losing hope. And like Tuesday, I was wandering around work, like almost crying. So I sat down and I had drawn pictures of what happened to me when I fell, and two, what it hurts for me to do. And he started laughing when he saw the pictures. He's like, "You must be completely fed up right now." And it's like, "Yeah." He's like, "You're drawing pictures." It's like, "Yep." And so I told him everything, and you know, physical therapy didn't work and the shot didn't work. And then I went to the ortho guy, and the ortho guy wants to put me in a cast for a month. And his face just went, "What?"
Oh, I bet that was gratifying.
Uh-huh. And then he pulled out his anatomy book that's like beat to shit. He's like, I don't use this very often. And we start talking about the way that the shoulder works and everything. And I told him that the ortho guy told me that there was nothing going on right here. There's nothing going on in your shoulder except for ribs and muscles, unquote. And the guys and the new doctor's like, "What?" So, you want some anatomy lesson?
Dang tootin'.
Okay. So there's this substance in your body called fascia. Mm-hmm. And it's this like, it's kind of like a stocking, and it kind of connects your muscles to each other, and it slides around and does what it's supposed to do. And it, in a way, like a pair of stockings, if it gets bunched up somewhere, like if you have too much stocking around your ankle, you don't have enough to cover your ass.
Oh.
So when I fell, I crushed my shoulder, just demolished it pretty much without breaking anything.
Whoa.
And I built up all this scar tissue. The scar tissue got stuck to this fascia. And the fascia has been, the scar tissue has been slowly pulling it in, making it tighter and tighter and tighter. So the good news is it's not a problem with my neck, and it's not a problem with my arm. It's the band of tendons that runs underneath your collarbone.
And underneath then, your bra strap.
Yeah, totally. And then it goes down your arm. It's given out. So then it took, my arm took over. My arm gave out.
Oh my God.
And so what he did was he had me lay down and stand up and do all kinds of stuff where he, and then he like poked me, and then he made me move my arm, and we did a bunch of different exercise, well, not even exercise, it's just movements.
Sort of things so he could sort of figure out like where, mm-hmm. where these bunchy stocking bits are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah. And, I told one of my friends about it, and she's like, "Yeah, they told me that. And I think they just wanted to feel me up." It's like, I don't care if I get felt up.
At least he was cute.
Yeah. I don't care if he isn't cute. If this is a small price to pay.
Right.
But yeah, it was amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Like, right, it's singing a little bit right now, but it's at maybe a 4.
Wow.
And then he did a chiropractic adjustment on me, and I don't, holy shit.
Did you hear all sorts of cracks and pops and blah, uh-huh. blah, blah?
And then he's like, "Well, you're going to hear all those cracks and pops, and like, your body's going to release endorphins." I spent the next 2-3 hours. I loved everything.
So you were essentially high as a kite.
I was. And then I had to go back to work. It's like, I have to do something with $800,000 right now. So I'm going back to see him again tomorrow for a follow-up. And I hope he does more. God damn. I have not felt this good in 9 months.
Wow. Oh, that is freaking fantabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my insurance covers it.
Wow.
And I didn't lose a month of my life, because if I had put myself in that cast, nothing would have changed.
Right. You still would have had all of this bunchy goo in there. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So is he, are you going to go see him over the course of the near future as well?
I think so. Cool. He's like, Rome wasn't built in a day. It might take a while.
Wow.
And I'm fine with that. As long as he keeps making me feel like $1 million.
Yeah.
Like, I am down.
Oh, Jane, I'm so happy
me
for you.
Me too. I, seriously. I love the man. His name is Mr. Wizard. Dr. Dumbledore. Like, so, yeah, I am so happy right now.
Oh, wow. Are there things that, I was just going to ask, like, you know, so you actually feel hopeful now. Like, it's not just gloom and doom and everything's going to be great and funless.
The thing is, it was Tuesday morning when I went, we had the sideways misty rain. And it's the entire world, like, it's never going to be summer. My arm hurts and it's never going to get better. But now it's better.
It was perfect, perfect timing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yes.
Yay. So you have weeks and weeks of feeling like a million bucks before the Rev Olympics.
Or whatever it's going to be called now.
That's right. Oh, wonderful. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad.
Me too.
Have you been doing crafty things or dreaming about crafty things you'll do later?
Yes. I made those sunglasses.
You did? Oh, I thought maybe you were wearing them when you came in, but you took them off so quickly. Oh, cool.
And then I cut out, I'm going to make a Finn from Adventure Time doll, and I started cutting him out.
A Finn?
Yeah, the kid, you've never seen Adventure Time. Mm-mm. The kid's name is Finn. Finn the human.
Oh, like F-I-N-N?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. When you said you were going to make a Finn, I was just picturing like a dorsal fin to wear.
Well, there is a hot dog princess. She's coming down the line. Yeah, I've been doing that. And yeah, a lot of reading.
Yeah, what have you read that's cool lately?
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
Okay,
it's in
cool.
the recommendations.
Nice. Yeah, so today... So it being such a beautiful, warm day.
And the fact that it was gray and nasty the other day when we came up with this topic, we were kind of being hopeful.
Yes. We were being very optimistic and dreaming of summer.
Yay.
And the days when the last thing we want to do is sit with a big pile of wool in our lap.
Mm-hmm.
What's a knitter to do in the summer, Jane?
So.
Ah, yes. Although, I could make the argument that you have to turn the dryer on to do sewing.
No, I don't.
No, you don't.
I have a clothesline.
No, oh, that's true. Yeah, I don't. I'd have to go spread it out on the lawn. I'd end up beating cat poo on it or something. I know. Ew, exactly. I need a clothesline.
You need a backyard first.
Yes. Yes. That would be wonderful. Someday.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Jane and I thought that it would be intriguing to talk about stuff that you can knit in the summer that's not a sweater.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe if it is a sweater, it's a little bit different than the one that you would wear yourself. And we're sitting here with the links in front of us. But so you might find that you as the listener might find it helpful to sit in front of our show notes and look at these things we're going to talk about too. I think they're all Ravelry links. So.
Why would I have anything else?
Yes, exactly. It's all there.
So, well, the first thing you mentioned barbecues, which we are going to be having a lot of.
Yes.
I thought about, you know, those flags that you can hang up for, I don't know, the 4th of July parade, the little triangular ones.
Oh, yeah, that they're on like a long white cord.
Yeah, totally. Apparently it's called bunting. And if you go into Ravelry and you search for bunting, you find a lot of pictures of babies.
Oh, ew.
Yes.
But there were a lot of really cool ones
that
were not baby related. There were a surprising number that weren't flags either. Wasn't there one that was like ladybugs?
I didn't see that one.
I probably imagined that one. I might just want there to be ones that are ladybugs. Oh, no, they're hearts.
Oh, that's cute.
That's very cute.
Yeah, but I like this one, the one that looks very, very normal. And then there was one with a Union Jack on it.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, I liked that. I've actually thought about sewing bunting.
Oh,
I don't know what I would put on it or why, but, you know, what the hell.
There's one called Camp Loopy. The ones that...
Oh, look! It's got skull and crossbones. It's all... Okay, I think that's all nautical-themed. Pirate pennant bunting.
Cool. Yeah. That would be a super fun project, too, because you'd be using a whole bunch of different colors.
I think it would be good for scraps.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So, what's... I saw in the thing you said something about hostess gifts. What's the rule for hostess gifts?
I don't know. Okay. I'm horrible at being a hostess and I'm horrible at being a guest. So.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not the person to ask.
Yeah, because I have a friend who keeps throwing shindigs and I go and then like some people show up with a bottle of wine for her. And like I threw a shindig. Nobody brought me shit.
That's right. Some of them didn't even bring the stuff I told them to bring. Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know. I guess my personal rules would be if I've never been to somebody's house and they didn't tell me to bring anything, then I should bring something that's not necessary. I don't know.
We should look that up one of these days.
Yeah, we should ask Miss Manners or something like that. She and I don't have a relationship. Not currently. I have always wanted to knit a curtain.
Oh, yeah. I remember you were swatching for that a couple years ago.
Yeah, I bought... Well, there was a sweater in an interweave knit that was like a cabled tunic that I thought about knitting for my mom.
Right, and it was kind of lacy at the same time?
Yeah, it was a cabled fabric, but it was knit with lace weight linen yarn on something like 8s. So, yeah, it looked lacy because mm-hmm. the holes were so big. But I bought a small cone of that yarn. I think it was some Luette yarn. And, it's not fun to knit with. It's not fun to knit with at all. Mm-hmm. And so I thought the idea of, and my mother is not a tiny woman. And so the idea of making a whole sweater out of that made me slightly nauseous and it made my hands bleed. And so I thought, what can I do with, I think it was something on, something like 400 yards of lace weight linen yarn. Like, what the hell am I going to do with that?
And you had just moved into this place.
Yes. And we didn't have any curtains on our windows. And so I thought, there was a curtain in a Mason Dixon book that I thought was pretty neat. But then I had to bring the book back to the library. So I decided.
We should just buy. Let's just throw down and buy that book. I'll buy the first one. You buy the second one. And then we could trade.
That would be a much better solution.
Yeah. Because between the two of us. Probably bought that thing in late fees.
Yeah, that's very true. But, you know, well, and here's another book that I need to look at the library and see if I perhaps want to buy. So this is not the Mason Dixon book, but it's called Knit Green. That's the name of the book. And it has a really pretty curtain in it that is kind of hard to see on our screen because it's tiny. But I think it's just a really simple...
Oh, that looks easy. It just looks like garter stitch.
Yeah, it looks way simple. They did it in a pretty self-striping sport weight wool yarn, but... I don't know, whatever. Oh, wow. You can zoom. That's amazing. What I really want to do is close.
That would never, all of the windows in my house are huge because I've got a ranch style house. So I would be there for the rest of my life if I was trying to knit a curtain.
Yeah, you'd be super sad and exhausted. Yeah, I live in a much older house and my windows are all narrow. So that would be much more doable for me. You found a really cute thing on Ravelry.
Oh yeah, so I'm in the kickball league, and one of the tenets of the kickball league is there's some drinking going on. If you run that way, I don't really drink that much anymore. But I found beer cozy patterns that are actually little sweaters.
They're like little turtleneck sweaters with sleeves that stick out.
They're adorable. And I could just see making those in team colors.
Oh, yeah.
And the first team I was on was a Star Wars themed team. And somebody had knit beer koozies that had a stormtrooper in Tarjid. I think there might have been a Yoda one, too, in Tarjid in.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's killer. I tried entering search terms into Ravelry, things like barbecue, summer, lemonade, ice cream, popsicle. But when I entered in barbecue, and I'm not really sure why this came up, but I came across one of those mitten patterns by Spilly Jane, which I've seen before.
Rad name.
I know. Well, she has, I won't dive into all the other ones, but I've seen her some of her mittens on the Yarn Harlots website. She mm-hmm. has like cupcakes and pints of beer. And I think she might have ice cream. They're beyond adorable.
A lot of cupcakes.
But this one that I found, the one that I found when I was searching barbecue, was bacon mittens. So it's just a pair of mittens and it's a whole bunch of little strips of bacon.
Do you remember, what was that website? Was it the Anticraft?
Anticraft sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, the one that it came out based on the pagan chart, moon chart or something. But they had a bacon issue a couple years ago.
Oh, that does sound really familiar. Yeah, what was... I think the woman, one of the women's name is Sabette Stewart.
Yeah, something like that. I remember listening to, hearing about her on Brenda Dane's show.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yes, they did have a bacon one. We should check them out again.
It's been a long time.
Also, this one wasn't necessarily summary, but I came across it recently and I can construe it to be summary, but, the coasters at our house, Jane knows. The coasters at our house are an ingenious creation of Dan, and he used to subscribe to the official PlayStation magazine, and they used to send out demo discs. You know, they'd have little bits and pieces of new games that were coming out.
It was before the PlayStation Network, so this was how they would send out demo. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Demos. So, you know, there were just all these discs laying around his house that, you know, he'd played, and then like, well, what do you do with them? Just like when I used to subscribe to Paste, that music magazine, mm-hmm. they would send, you know, demo discs to, and I would listen to them, and I'm like, well, I don't
like anything on here.
Yeah, or the ones that I liked, I went out and bought. So, mm-hmm. like, why do I need it anymore? So, but Dan decided to take his old demo discs, and he took two of them, and, you know, he put glue on the, you know, the information side of each of them, and then glued them together. And then those are the coasters that are around our house. But over time, that was probably 10 years ago, but over time, you know, all of the paint is sort of rubbing off, and... They kind of don't serve the purpose that a coaster should, which is to, you know, absorb the condensation or whatever from your thing. So really the wetness from the bottom of your cup or your mug just sits on the CD and mm-hmm. then rolls off as soon as you pick it up onto the table. So I wanted to make some new coasters, but I didn't want to do any of those, you know, like felted ones. Mm-hmm. I just didn't want to I wanted something that was kind of clever. But I found these ones that... Apparently, it's actually a washcloth, but it's just a leaf, and it's like the easiest thing in the world.
That's cute.
Yeah. I actually kind of don't care so much for the stockinette one. Mm-hmm. It kind of looks too much like a mouth. I don't know. It kind of creeps me out. But there's a garter stitch version that looks less like a mouth.
I think the garter stitch one would probably be more absorbent.
Yeah, because it's got
the
more
hills and
nooks.
Valley. Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah, we've got our coasters, our tiles. From Jason's old gig.
Oh.
They were cleaning out the attic before they said goodbye. he bought some with some of his safety dollars.
His safety dollars for having been safe on the job?
Yeah.
His itchy and scratchy money.
Yes.
What's different about it?
It's more fun.
All right, I'll take $1,100 worth. And then they walk in. We don't take itchy and scratchy money. Okay, forgive my Simpsons digression.
That's okay. I actually had a Simpsons reference yesterday at work.
You did?
Yes, because they were talking about ghost peppers. I mentioned the Guatemalan insanity chilies.
Cultivated deep in the jungle primeval.
I saw that one.
That one's great.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Johnny Cash that plays the coyote.
Yeah, that's why I was able to bring it up. Oh, look at those.
Aren't those adorable?
These are lip balm cozies, which is a very, very, very smart idea because they are on keychains.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many times I have the contents of my purse. My purse is a vast wasteland. I can never find my chapstick. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome.
And this would be perfect, too, for there are plenty of places that I go, say, on my bike, and I don't need to bring my wallet, so I don't need to bring, you know, a purse of any sort, but I do need to bring my keys, and it would be nice to have chapstick. And look, they have cute little buttons. There's
I have
lips.
Adorable little buttons too. I have one that's an elephant, I have one that's Peter Rabbit, and I just don't know what to do with them.
Oh, this could be perfect.
Oh my god, that would take 5 minutes. I'm gonna make one of those for the Ravolympics, whatever it's called now.
You know, that thing we might do. Yeah, this so since y'all can't see, it's just a tube of knitting.
It's like a finger.
Yeah. And then there's like a little flap and then you just put a little button on it. Yeah. It looks like the easiest thing. And then I when I first looked at it, I thought, oh, I'm going to have to go to the craft store and buy some sort of specialized keychain thing. No, it's like those little, what do you call those, Jane?
Pinchy clips.
Pinchy clip. Yeah. It's those things that you use when I used to make GIMP.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That you would attach it to. And then, yeah. So you just like feed that through one of the stitches and then it's just a... That's not a jump ring. That's a key ring. Yeah. Super easy. Way quick. It probably, I want to say.
That would take 20 minutes.
Yeah. That'd be the fastest thing in the world. Apparently, or based on the one that I'm linking to, I think it was a crochet pattern to begin with. But this clever gal, Julene, she came up with a knit version.
Yay, knitting.
Yay.
Because I cannot crochet to save my life.
I was at the library and found a book called A to Z Crochet that I checked out, and I'm not going to start anytime soon, but it was almost all pictures.
Oh.
And it was bright and colorful and modern looking, and yeah, I should probably buy it because it looks like I could never need another reference for crochet. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I gave away my Debbie Stoller one.
Oh, the Happy Hooker or whatever. Yeah, oh, yeah. You tried.
I tried. I just goes to show that I can't do everything that I try.
And then this isn't a pattern per se, but I found a couple of charts that somebody has posted as a free download on Ravelry. One is ice cream cones and the other is popsicles. Which
popsicles.
I think I like the popsicles.
Yes. Yeah, the ice cream cones might be, who knows what those are, really.
Yeah, they could be some sort of monster with a beard or a dwarf wearing a helmet.
Exactly. I was going to say, like, a dwarf, like, a construction worker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the popsicles are cute.
Yeah, they're impossible to misconstrue. This one, I don't even really know what you would do with it, but I thought they were charming as well. They're little red chili peppers.
Oh, you could knit a bunch of them and then string them on bunting, and then we could have a fiesta.
That's right. Olay!
What is that?
Oh, my gosh. There's something. Okay, so this pattern is from something called ADHD knitting. I'm not clear as to whether that's a book or not, but over here on the right-hand sidebar of the Ravelry page, there's more ADHD knitting, and there's something called a booby trap. Let's look at it.
Which is what's funny is because it's between two patterns about babies. They are tits.
They are, with very prompt. Look, that one has nipple piercings.
They're kind of askew.
Oh, wow. So it's just like a bra that looks like boobs. Oh, that is hilarious. Hey, look, there's non-Caucasian versions too. Bravo, sisters.
And an ice cream man.
An ice cream man.
There's an ice cream man in the background.
No kidding.
Right there.
Oh my gosh, it totally is. Let's blow that one up. Does he look delighted? Oh,
oh
no,
it's
the
mailman. He's delivering a package.
And he looks really happy to be doing so. Oh, awesome. I just have to scroll down so we can look at all the rest of the pictures. More boobs. That one's very nipple prominent. Oh, that is pretty awesome.
Well, Jen wants to know if she could actually knit a swimsuit.
I think I could. I've come across a few patterns that I just don't want to knit. I'm not comfortable in bikinis.
Oh, heck no.
As a rule. Yeah. I have one and it just does not suit me.
I haven't worn a bathing suit in at least 5 years.
Oh my gosh, really?
Well, yeah, no. Nobody needs to see me like that. I don't care if I'm thinner than I was now.
Yeah. I just feel self-conscious. Mm-hmm. You know, there's just a little more in the middle than looks attractive in a bikini, so I like the idea of one pieces. And I came across this one when I checked out the book that it's in from the library. The book is called A Stitch in Time, Knitting and Crochet Patterns, Volume 1. So it's a woman, I believe she lives in Britain, and she took a bunch of old vintage patterns and then, you know, redid the instructions so that they're more modern. Mm-hmm. But there were a lot of cool patterns in there, you know, for sweaters and whatnot. But there's this one that's called The Call of the Sea, and it's a one piece. I won't even call it a swimsuit. It's a bathing costume.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, like old school kind of, I guess it would be, you know, 1920s.
Ample butt coverage.
Yes, absolutely. And it's, but sort of up on the top here, it, you know, has two straps, but it's pretty low cut. So it's not as if you're wearing, you know, like a creepy prison issue swimsuit or something like that. It's definitely not, you know, Kim Kardashian sexy or anything like that, but it's very classy. It's very, it's pretty darn sleek for a one piece. And there's a seagull on the front that I think I might actually do in Intarsia if I do it.
I saw in one of the old knitties, I think it was the Sex and the Nitty issue from back in the day. There was one called like Esther, and it was an Esther Williams.
Oh,
not
yeah.
Esther Merman. style bathing suit with the, what's that thing called? Halter neck. Oh. And like, instead of being panties, it was more boy short down towards the bottom.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm a big fan of the boy short thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody needs to see the crack of my bum. Mm-mm. It's not.
I think if I were to knit a bathing suit, though, I would really want to line it.
Yes.
With bathing suit lining. Because, well, one, it would hold its shape. Because I don't know if you're planning on being a bathing beauty and actually bathing, or if you're just lounging by poolside. But yeah, I would need to guarantee that that thing wasn't going to grow and fall off.
Yes, I totally agree. And see, I would want to wear. I would want it to be functional. I wouldn't want it to just be, I'm going to sit out in the yard.
Yeah, so it's not in Knitty. It's in Knit Knit. And it's called Esther, and it's by Annie Modisette.
Oh.
And it's really cute. It's got all kinds of shaping on the sides and like a nice little skinchy thing at the, you know, in the boobs.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no pictures of it on anybody.
Yeah, which is humongously draggish. Yeah.
Oops.
That's okay. Yeah, why? I was just telling Jane that in looking at swimwear on Ravelry, there's a surprising number of project photos and pattern photos that are just the bikini laying on the ground. Like, I don't care what it looks like on the ground. Is it going to look like anything good on a human? But whatever. I guess maybe.
I can totally see. People don't want to be showing off the goods.
Yeah, that's true. Or maybe they're just like, oh, I thought this would look good on a human.
No, well, one of the things that I knit once in the summer knitting vein out of cotton was a pattern from Vintage Knits by Sarah Dallas, and which is the worst edited book ever because none of the charts have charts. It's just like there's the chart and it's got all the little squares and the circles and the things that, but it doesn't have a key.
Oh, yeah. You just have to make it up.
Yeah, but there was this like little cute like camisole, and it was made out of Rowan cotton glossé, whatever the hell that's called. And yeah, I made it. Nah, no bueno.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I also like I put it on, and you know, I was chubby for one, and like I had bad hair going on, and like bad, you know. I don't need to be wearing shit like that.
Yeah.
So I frogged it.
Good job.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. This is something I will never knit, but I want to pull it up and look at it occasionally because it makes me giggle. I found on Ravelry wiener people. And it's not a pattern. It's just something charming that this person... Scream a pillar. She also has a great name made. Yeah, it's just two little hot dogs, and one of them has very prominent hot dog boobies.
It made me think of the last time we had family night, and we were sitting around looking at that old cookbook.
Oh, yes, your Better Homes and Gardens Junior cookbook.
Yeah, and I don't remember if it was... I think it was Dan and I were trying to figure out how to make a hot dog octopus.
Oh, right, where you cut it and then boil it.
Uh-huh. Then we came up with the name Hot Doctopus.
Actually, there was a hot doctopus in on Ravelry. Oh. Yeah. I don't know how, I don't think I'm going to link to it or anything, but somebody can find it there. Yes. And I would say that the last thing that I in the show notes, I'm just saying that no words can describe the awesomeness of this. And this is, please, please look at this because it's pretty damn amazing. So.
No way.
Yes. I found this by searching ice cream. And so I'm just going to read the notes really quickly. So this is not a pattern, but her name is Mad Sea Cow. She's the one who made it. So her notes are, I was commissioned by a drag queen here in San Francisco to knit some drag for an upcoming performance. What does she want to look like? A big swirl of soft serve ice cream with a cherry on top. Her name is Ambrosia Salad if you want to Facebook her. And the photos are so amazing.
I can see Lady Gaga in that so easily.
So yeah, it's this fabulous drag queen who looks like ice cream wandering around with like a sexy chef guy around the streets of San Francisco. It looks like they're at the farmer's market. They're drinking chocolate milk through a straw.
They're getting a donut.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you just won.
And yes, please look at that. I cannot stress this enough, everyone. It's fabulous. And what other sorts of wonderful things do we end up knitting in the summer, Jane?
You know, why does cotton stretch so much?
I don't know.
Isn't there anything we can do? Is there a way to like get it come pre-stretched?
God, that'd be pretty stupendous.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Because it seems like, well, because we can never actually have an episode without having some kind of epic fail. And like my lingerie top that was ill-suited. It was also kind of titty pink. It wasn't a good one. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, every time I make something out of cotton, thinking, oh, this will be a lovely, lovely summer knit, it just becomes gigantic, even as I'm knitting it. And I don't understand why. We live in the 21st century. You know, we've put a man on the moon. We've developed technology that can fix people's shoulders in a matter of minutes.
Right. Can surf the internet on airplanes.
Uh-huh. Why can't I knit a cotton sweater that doesn't become, you know, suitable for my great aunt Marge?
Well, what is that? What's that cascade yarn that is called for in like 90% of the projects in that knitting lingerie style book? It's cascade. Oh, is it fixation?
Yeah, that stuff's rad.
Doesn't, because it has a little bit of elastic in it, right?
A lot of elastic in it. That's really. Oh. I didn't even think of that as being cotton. I thought of that as being some kind of miracle polymer fiber.
It fell from space.
It did.
In a shiny little pod.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, yeah, cotton is a drag.
Mm-hmm. You've used linen. Does linen stretch?
The only linen that I've used is, well, that Luette stuff, that lace weight stuff. I don't think it stretches. Maybe a little bit. I'm trying to think of the like woven fabric that I have that's linen. I don't think it stretches so much. It sort of, maybe it loosens up a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, not stretchy.
Because like a couple. I'm going to just talk over you now.
No.
Yeah, you're done. You're cut off. A couple years ago in the IK, there was this filet patched blouse by Teva Durham out of whatever the hell her loop-de-loop stuff is, and it was really cute, except you had to do this like stupid knitting. It was knitting that was supposed to mimic crochet.
Oh.
And so I said, F that noise, I'm gonna learn how to crochet. So I can do the, you know, stupid granny squares, no problem. And started, and it had all these little squares up at the top, and then this like drapey, you know, bottom piece, kind of an empire waist going on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I started working on it, and it's just, it got gigantic.
Oh.
And then I said, nah, I'm done. And then it sat around for a while, and then I threw it away.
Oh.
Well, I don't. I donated as much of it that was salvageable, mm-hmm. and then I threw the rest away. So it sat around for like 2 years at least.
It was a long time. Mm-hmm. I remember you bringing out, you know, when we would go out and knit places, that you would bring out like a square here or there, mm-hmm. or you'd be working on like the sleeve or something. Yeah, and it was like, oh yeah, I'm working on this again. Mm-hmm. You're never very excited about mm-mm. it.
Nope. But everybody else was making it.
Yeah, I wasn't up to the challenge at all. Mm-mm. It was really cute, though.
I think it would have made me look like I was pregnant anyway. And I don't want that, because a couple of the people, they just looked like they were wearing potato sacks.
Oh, no good.
And I don't want that going on.
Yeah.
But if I'm ever healthy again, yeah, that's that Gemini top from the spring nitty. Mm-hmm. And what's really cool about that one is you can wear it forwards or you can wear it backwards.
I love that.
So it's appropriate for work and play. And it's in a cotton. So I mean, I just don't know, man. Cotton.
Yeah.
Cotton linen. I mean, loose gauge.
Well, and when I made that Charlie Brown tee, I very intentionally made a really big swatch, mm-hmm. because I wanted, you know, I was going to do my due diligence and make a swatch and then like, you know, put it in the washer and shrink the hell out of it and then get it wet again and blah, blah, blah. And just, you know, fiddle around with it and do all those things that for your average wool sweater, you're like, that is overkill, I'm not going to bother. But I knew that since it was cotton, I was going to do stupid things. But it didn't matter. It did not reveal its stretchability throughout that whole process.
Do you think it could be because we're knitting with cheap shit?
Maybe.
Like, maybe if we threw down for something better than Knitpicks Kotlin.
You mean we should go to Dublin Bay and clean them out of that amazing blue sky alpacas cotton we touched?
Yeah.
Oh, that stuff was lovely.
Yeah, but maybe just a skein at first.
Yeah.
Because maybe, you know, you get what you pay for. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to think what else I've done out of, because I don't want to use that sugar and cream because that stuff is shit.
That stuff is really scratchy. I don't even like touching it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would knit dishcloths out of it if I needed dishcloths, yeah. But I don't. I buy sponges.
Mm-hmm. I have a scrubber and a dishwasher. So yeah, that might be something to think about.
Well, and I seem to remember that blue sky cotton, wasn't it kind of...
We didn't even think it was cotton.
We thought it was wool, yeah, because mm-hmm. it was so ridiculously soft. Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm trying to remember the like the plying of it, because I know that Kotlin that I got from Knitpicks and that Comfy that I got from Knitpicks, which are both just really basic cottons, it's just, you know, 9 or 10, you know, mm-hmm. threads, and they're all kind of loosely wound together.
Because my Voldemort sweater, mm-hmm. that was
shine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm seeming to recall that blue sky cotton, that it had like a thread going all around the rest of them. Like it was constructed differently. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll have to go poke at it again.
Yeah.
So it was really pretty.
Maybe we should just split these on a skein, just a swatch.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a very good idea. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Cool.
I found I went to Goodwill the other day to look at puzzles. Mm-hmm. And then I wandered through the sweater section too. And I found a well-constructed sweater. It's like this hideous halter top thing. It's probably like Aran weight cotton yarn, but it's 100% cotton. It's got like a turtleneck. I don't know why anybody would wear that in the summer. It looks really uncomfortable and hot. But I'm gonna take it apart and make a dish towel with it. Yeah. Well, on the subject of Goodwill, while I was there, I saw a sweater. It was like a short sleeved cable sweater. It's like a pullover in like a kind of pretty mauvey coral color, and it looked like it was constructed nicely and that it didn't have cut seams on the side, so it could have been ripped apart. But I was looking for the tag to see what it was made of, because I'm not going to buy cheapo acrylic yarn and rip it apart because I don't want to knit with that. But I couldn't find a tag. And then I realized it's because it was hand knit because I could see where the ends were woven in. And I was just marveling at how the color was probably the best thing about it, and the craftsmanship, the shape of it was weird. But I was just like, wow, somebody did a really nice job on that.
I bought a Goodwill cotton sweater. It was like two shades of purple. And it started ripping it apart, and then it just started smelling like BO.
Oh.
And so I trashed that, too. Oh,
good. Yeah, that's...
No bueno.
You can't get that crap out. That's just awful. Who wants that? I digressed, forgive me, but this Gemini is very, very cool. Yeah, and the reversibility, it's like... I have a couple of American Apparel shirts and or dresses that are reversible, which is awesome. Because when the front gets a spot on it, I just turn it around. There were a couple things that I remembered I'd wanted to make in the past that were summery that I just never got around to. I really want to make this Coachella. It's a halter top, which doesn't always look great on me, but...
I need something to support the girls. I would have to figure out some way to work that out.
Well, you know, actually the designer, so anyway, this pattern Coachella, it's by Fathom Harville, which her name is way too cool to be her given name. Maybe it is. But she has some pattern notes in here. So it's a halter top, you know, so it's just got one little strip down the back. On the back of your neck, and then that grows into, you know, two straps in the front.
Kind of a racer back, actually.
Oh,
if
racer
we
back.
Get technical about it.
Please do, because I'm just misleading people by saying the wrong thing. But she has, it's from Nitty from 2007, but she has quite a few notes here in Ravelry. Mm-hmm. And she says, one of them is that I want to say that I.
Oh, here we go. I designed this pattern.
Oh, yeah, specifically from the beginning around the requirement that I be able to wear a bra. It seems like she got a lot of feedback from people saying, like, oh, yeah, this is a cute pattern, but I can't wear a bra with it. But she has, she says she just wears it with...
you can get a racer back bra.
Yeah, exactly. And there's something about convertible bras. I don't know.
Oh, I have one of those, too.
Yeah, so...
I had to keep the tag that came with it because I was never going to remember all of those ways to...
Oh, I need all of these instructions for feature reference. Yeah. So I would definitely like to make that at some point. And also, oh, this one I'd had in my favorites for a long time. It's called Lattice, and it's from one of the Stitch and Bitch books. And it's got this really cute little keyhole.
Oh, yeah.
On the sleeves.
Yeah, I thought about that, too, because I have that book.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty. It's kind of a lattice-y, cable-y, traveling, stitchy pattern on the top of the bodice, and then it's just ribbing down at the bottom, so...
That would show off my tattoos in the hole.
Oh, yes! Like, look, I can see your sewing machine through your...
What is that? You never know.
And then I really don't foresee that I'm going to knit a dress anytime soon.
Hell no.
But if I did... It would be this dress. It's called Jill's Dress. And
oh, that is pretty.
Yeah, isn't that? And it's from a book that I think I've seen at the library before called Modern Top-Down Knitting. And it's, yeah, the dress itself, it's just a really simple tank dress with, I heard you say, empire waist. Yeah. Make it sound so fancy.
Empire.
Empire.
And this is just because I'm addicted to Project Runway.
Tim Gunn has spoiled you forever. And yeah, it's just very, very nice vertical lines.
I have a sewing pattern that looks very similar to that.
Oh, pretty. Yeah, so like I said, not going to knit a dress anytime soon, but if I do, it'll be that one because it looks like it wouldn't tick me off. And so have you ever worn a cover-up, Jane, like at the beach?
Well, considering the fact that I haven't been in a bathing suit in at least 5 years, no. Also, considering that I haven't been in a bathing suit on a beach in about 10, no. I think that they're for people that aren't us.
people who live in warmer climates.
That's what I think, too.
Like, you know how my friend Mary keeps getting to go on fabulous vacations?
Oh, yes, to Europe and Argentina.
Barcasis and all kinds of shit like that. Yeah, Mary's got a couple so that she can cover up.
Yes.
You know, if you're in the Vanuatu Islands, you know, that's the way the world rolls. But we live in Portland, so, I mean, if I wind up in a bathing suit somewhere, I'm probably got a towel wrapped around me and I'm praying that it rains.
Please get me off this beach. Yeah, because I see.
And if I am going to wear a cover up, I'm not going to knit one because I'm only going to wear it once.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm completely in agreement that, you know, these are the ones that you see in Vogue. Because, you know, whenever they have a summer issue, it's like, here's some lovely shells to wear at the beach. Or, you know, the big, fancy, doily-ish ones. Yeah, they're for people who are going to, like, Monaco. Or
a beach where you could actually hang out. Because the beach in Oregon is bite-ass cold.
Yeah, it's cold and rocky.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't smell very good sometimes. But this one did not look terribly hard. So it's a cover-up from a Vogue.
Last summer's Vogue.
Yeah, last summer's Vogue. And it's really, it's technically a poncho.
You can call it what you want.
Yeah, well, they've classified it as a poncho.
No, okay.
I'm merely going with their classification. But it's really, I think it's just a rectangle in this sort of lacy, meshy pattern. And I think it would give sufficient coverage over a bathing suit, but it could also just be a good thing for, you know, keeping your shoulders warm. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe if y'all out there who live in warm places.
Tell us what that's like.
Yes. Tell us beautiful, warm stories of what it's like to have every day be like today. And I also am not going to knit shorts anytime soon. But again, if I ever do, it'll totally be these ones. I've had them in my favorites forever. They're just the simplest things in the world. But they're just like a pair of boy shorts. They're called...
You can make those as jammies.
Oh, yes. Yeah, they're called Zoe Beach Shorts. And the things about... It seems like the person who designed them, Andrea Rangel, she has some awareness of the fact that, like, you don't want your bum hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some good coverage. And there's also a drawstring at the top, so they wouldn't be sliding off.
There was a really cute pattern in... what was that book that Nitty put out?
I don't know.
And it was like almost 10 years ago. And the really awesome thing about the book was that it had a prop in it so that you could put it on the desk and hold it up. It was triangular shape. And it had a really cute pair of knit boxer shorts in there. For like summer jammies would be a fun knit.
Oh, yeah. Could do bright colors.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Put popsicles on them.
And now, were they boxer shorts intended to be worn by girls?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. They weren't like making you knit a flap or anything like that.
Oh, no.
Oh, that sounds so cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I just can't remember what that book was called, but I'm sure we'll find it.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that Nitty had put out a book.
Mm-hmm. Or Amy Singer had put out a book.
Oh, okay. Oh,
But it's not either of the No Sheep Free...
Oh, okay.
No, I don't remember.
I don't think it was No Sheep for You.
And
because
it wasn't
I...
Big Girl Knits.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, Nitty put out a book like 10 years ago.
Oh, wow. We'll have to figure out what that was.
Mm-hmm.
Shorts. What else can you do in the summer, Jane?
I don't know. What else can I do in the summer?
Oh, no, no. We did not talk about the ultimate silly summer knit.
Oh, yeah. So about, again, nearly 10 years ago now, Nitty had that good old Sex and the Nitty issue, which is still makes me laugh. And one of the things in there was the 302 calories, which was a G-string knit from Red Vines. And about 20 people have made them on Ravelry,
wow.
And there's no skin involved, but yeah.
Oh, they're all just like laying on the table.
Yeah, there's like, you know, picture of the lady holding them. Oh, I got these at my bachelorette party. But yeah, it's you get a pair of chopsticks and some red vines. the long, thin, skinny ones, not the fat old Twizzlers. And you knit this G-string.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, oh. I really like red vines.
I also like that in the materials section of the pattern, it calls for snack stop red laces. And then, you know, for any yarn, they'll tell you how many grams it is and then what it's composed of in terms of fiber. But it says snack stop red laces, 0 grams fiber, but lots of corn syrup and even some Caranuba wax. Oh, great. 8 yards per 2.25 ounces. That is brilliant. And when you're tired of knitting in the summertime, what the hell else can you do?
I'm going to go play some kickball and drink some beer. Jen wants to build a loom.
I think that would be so cool. And I think that my brain must have sort of remembered that Jane had a source for telling me how that could be accomplished.
It is. Remember, there was this awesome website there's this awesome magazine that doesn't exist anymore called Craft. Mm-hmm. And it's done by the people who do the Maker Faire. And they only, unfortunately, had 10 issues before they called it quits. And then it became craftzine.com. And then I think I got an email the other day that they're merging with Make, which I do not approve of that.
Everything's going to be a robot now.
Yep. Yeah, but they have this how to make a tapestry loom tutorial. And it's on their website. So we've got it linked in our show notes. But yeah, I've always wanted to build that too.
Yeah.
And you get some embroidery frames or some canvas stretcher bars. And you build this frame. And it shows you how to warp it and how to use some doweling to make some heddles. And yeah, I think we could bust that out in like an afternoon. I totally have all the tools for it.
Yeah. And it really doesn't call for a lot of strange things. It's like... like you said, the embroidery frame stretcher bars, you know, you just go to Michael's, and then some wooden dowels, some hooks, some glue, a drill, pliers. You could probably do without the vise.
Yeah, I'm thinking you could do without the vise. I have a Dremel tool, so we don't need the X-Acto knife because that would take forever. But yeah, you put together this frame and then you cut some notches in the tops and the bottoms, and it shows you how to warp it. And it gives you something like 60 continuous inches of weaving space because it's done in a loop somehow.
Oh, yeah.
And you gave me that, what was that stuff? That recycled sari silk.
Oh, right.
And I tried to knit with it, and it just kind of looks like, yeah, it hurts. And it looks like vomit, but this it's so pretty in its natural state. So I thought maybe weaving that would bring it out.
Right.
Yeah, especially since every project on Ravelry, or maybe not every project, but a good chunk of them that are made from recycled sari silk just look like clown pubes.
Yeah. Yeah, they managed to make something that's beautiful in the ball, like that sari silk is, just look like cheap fun fur.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, just so many of them are awful. Yeah, because it gets fuzzy when you knit it up, and mm-hmm. it's not fuzzy when it's in the ball. Yeah, that would be, so you would think, I'm trying to remember, so warp is the stationary one, and then the weft is the one that you're using the heddle to create. Is that right?
Yes. No. I haven't, well.
I don't know either.
Yeah, I haven't woven since my Fisher-Price Easy Weaver back in the day, which actually had a handle. Ch-chink.
Oh, cool. Uh-huh. So you got the satisfaction of ch-chonk, ch-chonk, yep. Ch-chonk. Oh, cool. Yeah, whatever the details are, that would probably be the one that you would put on the heddle mm-hmm. and weave it through. Oh, yeah, that'd be really pretty.
Yeah, we could probably do that for like $20.
Yeah. Well, tell you what, I'll go buy all this junk.
Okay, cool.
At some point we will make it. Yeah, it's very cool. And you said that the instructions were online too.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's even a video too. Because there's one thing I can say about Craft or Make or whoever's doing it these days is that they're very thorough and very clear in their instructions.
Oh yeah. Cool. I still can't get over the cover photo of this mm-hmm. particular magazine. The guy, he looks so much like, he's like Kurt Cobain's preppy brother. Yeah, I won't be able to see it on the website. I don't think
we'll
just have to use your imagination.
I got a camera. So, Recommendation time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start. Like I said earlier, I've been reading a lot, and I found through our library's download service, which I love that we have a download service.
Oh, the ebooks?
Yes. Mm. Because I can listen to them, and then I have my e-reader, so I can read the books. And I actually read a book called Such a Pretty Fat. One Narcissist's Quest to Discover If Her Life Makes Her Ass Look Big or Why Pie Is Not the Answer by a gal named Jen Lancaster. And she, in the beginning of the book, they have, you know, blurbs about the author, like by other famous people, I guess. Mm-hmm. And somebody said David Sedaris and Pearls. And so I started reading the book. It's David Sedaris-esque. And they had little humorous essays and anecdotes about her life. I don't know if we'd go so far as to put her up there on the same shelf as David Sedaris, but I could not put the book down.
Wow.
And it's this woman. She's a writer. She's got a bunch of books out. And one day she realizes, oh, my God, I weigh 50 pounds more than I think I weigh. And I know I thought I weighed 50 pounds more than I should. So, like, I'm 100 pounds overweight. Holy crap. How did this happen? And, like, all the steps that she went through to try to get back into shape. She tried Jenny Craig. She tried Atkins. She tried Weight Watchers. And maybe I found it so funny because I'm at the tail end of this whole weight loss journey. But I could not put the book down. So I totally wholeheartedly recommended it. However, I got that book and I finished it. I devoured it. And then I got one of her audiobooks and I'm not enjoying it as much. And it might be the way the gal is reading it, or it might be the fact that audiobooks are slower going than books on a page.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm getting the same book from the library, and I'm going to see what I feel about that. But all of her books are hilariously titled. One is called Bitter is the New Black. One is called, like, Bright Lights Big Ass. So I'm really excited. I'm excited to read it. So I really, really totally enjoyed this book, though, and I can wholeheartedly recommend it.
Awesome. That will, I'll just digress into a spontaneous recommendation. Speaking of David Sedaris, I am anxiously awaiting him writing a new book, and I have no idea when that's going to happen because I love listening to him. I'll just tell everybody, and I probably told you, Jane, but I have copies of several of his audiobooks and, you know, the ones from the CDs, so I have all the tracks. So I create playlists that are about 10 tracks long on my iPod so that I can fall asleep to David Sedaris essays every single night because I know them all, like, essentially by heart. So I need something that I'm familiar with, so it will just sort of put me to sleep. But anyway, he hasn't put out a new book in a while, but he was on This American Life podcast last week.
No, I haven't.
No, not even last week. Maybe like a month ago. So mm-hmm. This American Life did a live show.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I have that, but I haven't finished that one yet.
Yeah. It's called, the title of the podcast is Invisible Made Visible, which is just a reference to the fact that they were doing a live show of a radio show. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that which is invisible is now up on a stage and it's being beamed into movie theaters. But I didn't realize until I started listening to it that David Sedaris is the last person to appear on the show. And he's at the very end and he reads a new essay, which thought was awesome. So, and there's a couple little funny anecdotes about him that Ira Glass mentions, but it's quite funny. And I'm sure plenty of people out there already listened to This American Life, so they've already heard it. But if you happen to skip over that one and you like him, check it out. So what's the other one you're going to talk about?
So I found, well, because we can't go an episode without mentioning the Nerdist podcast.
No, ma'am.
There was an episode a couple weeks ago with the Sklar brothers. I don't know if you listened to that one.
I haven't yet.
I love the Sklar brothers in some formats, but not all formats. They used to have a show on ESPN Classic called Cheap Seats, and it was Mystery Science Theater meets the wide, wide world of sports.
No way.
Yeah, it was like ice. There was one where there were these people driving these motorcycles on ice. There was like the Scrabble tournament. There was spelling bees, and they were just hilarious. So I really, really enjoy the Sklar brothers. And they're on the Nerds because they have a new TV show on the History Channel called The United Stats of America. And it is a combination of history, sociology, and math.
Whoa.
And we devoured it like crackheads. There's only six episodes, but there was one about back in ye olde times, everybody lived within 50 miles pretty much of the Eastern Seaboard.
Oh, yeah.
And the 8 inventions and innovations that made it so that we could expand westward and south, southerly. Oh. And it created all kinds of, you know, really interesting discussions between Jason and I. And it was funny as hell.
Oh.
Yeah.
United States of America.
It's on History Channel on Tuesday nights. And I think it's in the On Demand if you have the Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's available on iTunes if you have the iTunes.
Cool.
And it might be available on the Hulu if you're into the Hulu, but I don't do Hulu, so I don't know.
Oh, groovy. Oh, I'll totally put that on there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because the Dan still watches American Pickers because he clings to the fact that it's still good, but it's not.
Well, I'm hoping that the History Channel makes more of this because it's so much better than Pawn Stars.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that we watched last night was about the way our houses have gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. Like... Oh. And about personal space, and they went into an apartment that was built back in ye olde tenement times, and it was like 325 square feet, and they had 11 people living in there, so they brought in like 11 people and showed how there was no space, and how like people had to live on top of each other pretty much, and then they went to like a Levitt townhouse. And it was 800 square feet, which is the size of my house.
Yeah, it's the size of my house, too.
And they showed that it was bigger, but then they got more stuff. And then they went to, like, you know, Ye McMansion, where everybody has, like, 800 square feet to themselves.
Oh, right.
Which, God, I dream about.
Although, the caveat there is that you have to clean more.
No, if I can afford that much, I can afford a service. But it was fantastic. Every single episode, so I can't recommend it enough. And if you want to go back and watch Cheap Seats, that's pretty damn cool too. You don't even have to be into sports.
Oh, nice. Do you suppose Cheap Seats is on
it's
on YouTube?
Probably on the YouTube.
Okay.
It's on the internet if you know where to look. And apparently they are going to be putting out a DVD of it soon.
Oh, great. Yeah, that would be perfect. Plus, Dan would be impressed that I was interested in watching something sports related.
Oh, yeah. Sports is the loosest definition of sports.
Curling and such. Yeah,
there might have been curling. I believe there was cliff diving.
Wow. Oh, that sounds wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally putting that on. I'm putting United States of America on the DVR. And this isn't something that's free that I'm recommending, but I just got finished listening to Samantha Bee's memoir. It's called I Know I Am, But What Are You? And if you're not familiar with Samantha Bee, she is one of the, in quotations, correspondents on The Daily Show on Comedy Central. And I actually didn't really like her that much on The Daily Show. I felt like her persona was a little too over the top and kind of shrill and annoying, but I found her audiobook on the shelf at the library and I thought, I don't have enough audiobooks to listen to. I'm going to try. And she's really, really, really funny. And she's had a really, really strange life.
Cool.
Yeah, it's really entertaining and definitely pretty dirty. I linked to the book itself, but then also in the show notes, a interview that she did with Terry Gross on Fresh Air NPR. So you can get sort of an idea of what the book is. But yeah, like I said, she's had a really, really amusing life and she's very dry and very seemingly upfront and honest about just how strange it's been. So plus I think she was a pretty antisocial, odd child. So, so I identify immediately.
Totally.
And we also have some thank yous to say today.
Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
Especially me. But Jen, you can start first.
Oh, yeah. I'll do the thank yous for iTunes reviews. Thank you so much to CDC Tiger and Tracy Nitz for leaving us reviews on the U.S. iTunes site. We really appreciate it. It's fantastic to see that you're still excited about about leaving iTunes reviews. Brings us no end of joy.
So I want to thank Kath Pohl for telling me about this gal who does knitting with one arm.
No.
Yeah, she's got a podcast too that we should totally check out. Her the one-armed knitter gal is, her name is like Miss Kiki Knits, I think, on Ravelry. But yeah, I haven't really totally checked it out yet, but she's like, if, you know, maybe if you can't use both arms, maybe you can just use one.
Right.
So totally checking that out. I want to take a second to thank Cynthia for writing into the email address to tell me about the strength and dexterity training that she did to help reverse her knitter's arm.
That's something that involved a tennis ball, right?
Yeah, because I had lots of questions about that. So thank you so much, Cynthia. And, of course, Middle Age Pearl, who recommended the ART treatment, she is awesome right now. You're the queen. And I want to send a shout out to Celie Ely, who I just realized I have been playing Draw Something with for like a month. Well, her name just changed, and I in the app, and I'd been playing this, you know, this gal having a good time, and then her name popped up, and it's like, I recognize that from Ravelry. I've been playing one of our listeners, so you're awesome. And if anybody wants to play with me at Draw Something, because I'm rad at it, my Draw Something name is Ghost Tart, as it is for everything else.
Yeah, Jane draws a mean Godzilla. It's extremely believable. And I believe that concludes.
Yeah, that is
the ninth episode.
I went so fast.
It did seem to go really fast.
So 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
Awesome.
Right around there.
So y'all know how to get in touch with us. Gmail, knitfunny@gmail.com, knitfunny.com, Jane and Jen Knitfunny on the Ravelries.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're having a blast. Get ready for the whatever we want to call it, Olympiad. And
the Fringolad.
The Fringolad.
That sounds weird.
Yeah, that is. That we need to work on. Anybody got a good idea?
Loon Olympics? That no, sounds like can't. Olympics on the moon.
They won't let us use the word Olympic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, because it's probably owned by ExxonMobil or something.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, there's a whole thing going on. So, yeah, but since we're not an official team, we can still do whatever the hell we want.
That's right.
So, yeah, we will talk to you guys in about 2 weeks. And thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you guys around.
Thanks for listening. We love you. Bye-bye.